So let me just begin by saying the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' sermon that he shares. We went over it last summer with the Beatitudes, and then but we come to this portion in the Sermon on the Mount where I think, for lack of a better way to put it, I feel like Jesus, he's taking it to another level. But here he comes to a place where it's like, if you want to be my disciple, I'm about to take the training wheels off. This is going to be the tallest. This is almost like the climax of his message. He's building up to this. And when he gets to this point, he says some things here this week and next week. I'm focusing on some things that, quite frankly, you know how when you go to the gym, there's certain exercises you don't want to do? Some of you are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. What's this gym thing you're speaking of? Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not a big fan of crunches. Nestle crunches, but not. There's certain exercises I want to do. Jesus comes and he tells them, I'm going to tell you something, and this is challenging. When I read this, and I've read this many times, I am personally challenged. I want to challenge you with this word today. Jesus speaking here, he said this. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Father, I pray that your anointing would be all over this place, our hearts, our ears, our minds. God, I pray that whatever distractions that we may have walked in here with, Father, for these next few moments, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So he comes to this point in the sermon and he gives us what for me, quite frankly, is one of the most challenging words. And maybe it's just me, but I have a feeling human nature is that you might be challenged in this area a little bit as well. The whole turn the other cheek thing, the whole go the extra mile thing, the what do I do when somebody talks bad about me and says bad things about me? See, following Jesus isn't always the easy route. Hello? It's sometimes difficult. It's tough to give up my finances from time to time, but then when I weigh it out according to the blessings and the Word of God, well, okay, then sometimes I just, out of obedience, I'll do it. It's tough to, I'll be honest, some mornings I'm like, I don't really feel like reading the Bible and praying today, but after I wake up and, you know, down a couple cups of coffee, and the coffee kicks in, you know, prayer and spending time in the Word doesn't seem so. It's like there's some of these things. But this one in particular, I find personally very challenging. How to turn the other cheek when I'm wrong. Not because of my own doing, but when somebody has wronged me simply because they're evil, as the Scripture talks about, and they hurt me for no good reason, it's hard for me to let them do it again. How many are with me? Human nature is, well, okay, never letting that happen again. And that's okay. There's a defense there in that sense of human nature, especially if it's a constant ongoing thing. But listen, we should never confuse wickedness with weakness. You just might think they're wicked, but reality of it is they're weak. And weak people, hurting people, hurt people. And so recognizing that sometimes discernment on our behalf is a good thing. Or again, the context of the Scripture is Jesus is calling the disciples out. He's saying, you're salt and you're light. I'm calling you to a higher calling. I'm calling you to be effective in this life. I'm calling you to affect things. Salt flavors things. Light illuminates things. Jesus is calling every one of us to be different. And one of the ways he calls us to be different is if somebody asks you for your sweater, you're to offer them a coat. And it's difficult sometimes when you feel like someone is taking advantage of you. Or you've walked with somebody in your life, somebody in your family, a relationship, maybe it's a close friendship. You've walked with them, you've tried to help them out, you've gone more than the extra mile. And in your mind, human nature is saying, gosh, I wish one of their family members would step up. Why do I always have to be the one stepping up? And the reality of it is because you're salt and light, you continue to step up and you continue to ask God to use you. Because you believe that there's a greater good that's going to happen from. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. The Scripture says this as we dig a little bit deeper. Jesus actually is referring to the Mosaic Law. And remember now the context. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. So he actually addresses and alludes to the specific Mosaic Law. Let me read it to you out of Leviticus. Anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution for the life. Anyone who injures their neighbor must also be injured in the same manner. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury. In the Old Testament, all this is expressed as lex talionis, which is literally means the concept of exact retribution. Exact retribution. Whatever happens to you, the same thing has to happen to them. It's an exacting retribution. Because human nature seems to exaggerate when we're wrong. Some of y'all are really good at exaggerating when you're wronged. Some of you are good at exaggerating when you're sick. We're just prone. Human nature is prone to exaggeration. This exacting retribution. It was put in the law for the reason that we tend to exaggerate. Let me give you an example. Anybody else grow up fighting with your siblings? Just me? So my brother is 6 years older than I am and used to beat the snot out of me on a regular basis. It toughened me up. That was his mindset, right? And so... But the reason the concept of exact retribution was put in there is because in human nature is, well, you step on my toe, I kick you in the shin. You rip my leg off, I take your body out. Like, it just, right? We got to get it even. You never do that, and it just goes a little further. My brother and I, on my 21st birthday, my brother and I decided we were getting a slap fight. Okay. Ladies, you may not understand this. This is kind of a guy thing. Any guys know what I'm talking about? Just a weird guy thing. Let's just slap each other until somebody quits. So we get into a slap fight and we're slapping each other. And it was that friendly brother slap fight. Then all of a sudden my brother decided that he would kick me in the face. To which I decided he needed to die. And I was at an actual family reunion on my 21st birthday. And within a matter of a few seconds, I am on top of my brother, having a good time, getting back for all of those years. I was exacting retribution. Actually, it wasn't exacting, right? And what happened, my uncles pulled me off of him, and it was an amazing, amazing event. And my dad just sat back and laughed and said, I told you that was going to happen. You kept messing with him, and that's... What am I saying? Human nature is to take it to the next step. So... There was this Mosaic Law that was put into place that it had to be equal retribution. But not only that, but according to the Old Testament law, you weren't allowed to exact retribution. You were allowed to bring the case, but it had to go before the judge. It had to go before a court, and there was a judgment rendered, and then they would carry out the judgment, and it would judge it as exact. It would be an eye for an eye, literally a tooth for a tooth. It's important for us to understand as we look at these words that Jesus wasn't contradicting the Old Testament law here. He wasn't saying that a person who does something wrong shouldn't be judged. We have a system in our country as well of judgment for those things. So if, for example, someone breaks into your house tonight and steals, you know, your wedding rings, some precious things, and they get caught, there is a system of judicial justice. Socially, they're held responsible. Legally, they're held responsible. Well, what Jesus is teaching here is that, yes, there's some legal ramifications and some judicial and social ramifications. But on a personal level, on the you and I level, that we're to offer personal forgiveness, and we're not to hold anything against that person and not try not to retaliate against that person on a personal level. We have to accept on a personal level that justice is going to happen, but without revenge. On June 17th, 2015, very tragic event, sick and twisted event happened in South Charleston, South Carolina. A young man was sitting in a Bible study for about 45 minutes, a white young man in a predominantly African-American church. And after about 45 minutes, he decided to get up and start shooting people. When he did that, there were 9 of the worshipers in that room that were killed in that day. And on the bond hearing day, shortly after the tragedy, on the day that he was being held, held and the bond was being decided, the family members showed up and offered forgiveness and said that they were praying for him. That is the level that Jesus is speaking to. That is a level that I would honestly struggle in my heart. But when you see it happening, you go, wow. If that doesn't look salty and light, I don't know what does. If Jesus is calling us to another level in personal forgiveness, what they demonstrated on a personal level to the perpetrator of this heinous crime was that love is stronger than hate. And to the world, the author of that love is Jesus Christ. And that's what they were demonstrating. That because of the love of Jesus poured out to them, because of the mercy that they'd received, they were going to turn around and give forth mercy. Earlier in this same sermon, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown." You reap what you on a personal level. Now, the court system, he's been sentenced to, you know, whatever. I don't even know what he's sentenced to. The reality of the court system has to play out. But on a personal level, these family members said, "You are not. We're not going to be victims to this situation. We're declaring ourselves overcomers in this situation because love is much stronger than hate." I believe love is stronger than hate. The Greek word that's used when he says, "You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person." That the verb that says resist right there is literally meaning resisting someone in a way that you're opposing them personally, on a personal level. Is it the same word is used when it talks about in the New Testament that it says, who's able to resist God's will? Well, no one's able to resist God's will. God is God, and he's going to get done what he's going to get done. And so resisting God's will is futile in your life. Paul warned Timothy of people who resist the truth. It was the exact same word, standing against it. James reminds us that we should submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will run from us. So here Jesus is taking this following him to a brand new level, a whole new level. Yes, we should not resist God. Absolutely, we should resist the enemy. And absolutely, we should not resist his will. We should say yes to Jesus as often as possible and no to the evil one as often as possible. But this passage today, Jesus tells us we're not to resist a person. That is something that has done something to us that's wrong. In other words, you were shown mercy. Are you going to show mercy back? There but for the grace of God go I. On a personal level, if you want to be, what we're talking about, what Jesus was talking about, his salt and light. The crazy thing about this is that the non-retaliation that we're being called to is a little bit even tougher to face than it looks like on the surface. Because in a sense, he says, if you're struck on the right cheek, turn your left cheek. Well, typically that's a backhanded thing. You know, you're struck on the right. That's insulting. It's almost as bad as spitting on someone. It's an insult to slap them with the back of your hand. And so when you're insulted in such a way, he's saying, turn the other cheek. And now it's difficult. Human nature, some of you are arguing with yourselves in your head right now, and I get it, but we'll go here. But here's what happens. Not a lot of us are running around slapping each other on the cheek. It's just not like socially what's going on nowadays. We're much quicker with our words. It's a whole lot easier. Actually, we're really good with keyboard courage. Giving people a piece of your mind one letter at a time. We got to be cautious that we're not trying to exact retribution on a personal level towards somebody who's wronged us, to not resist that evil person in your life. This non-retaliation we're being called to is a higher level. There are many times in my life I've had devastating insults made about me. And one thing I've learned is God's a way better defender for me than I am. He's much better at it. And I remember the Holy Spirit dropping into my heart several years back. If you keep defending yourself, what's my job? Father, you're my defender. Father, you're my fighter. You're going to fight for me. You'll make this right. And by the way, I don't know why I'm going to say it this way, but you're not praying for justice. Well, I hope God gets some good. Not the heart of God here. You're praying for mercy. God, may they repent before justice happens. Father, may they turn around. May they follow you all the days of their life. I'm going to let them go, because letting them go and walking in forgiveness is not about them. It's about you. You running around carrying that bond, the bondage of unforgiveness in your life, is not something God wants you to do. And Jesus is saying, I want you to turn the other cheek. Let that thing go. Let it go. And let God deal with the situation. But pray that God's mercy would be upon those people. He's not, by the way, and I have to say this because probably wouldn't be able to sleep tonight if I didn't say this. This is not saying, Jesus is not saying, if you're being emotionally, physically, verbally abused in some relationship, if you're the victim of a constant domestic violence situation, that you should just learn to accept it. That's your lot in life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. So absolutely, that is not what he's saying. But this is saying there are going to come occasions where you get abused. You're going to have an opportunity where somebody is going to misuse you. You're going to have an opportunity where somebody says bad things about you. Remember what he said earlier in the scripture. Blessed are you when they say all these evil things about you. You're blessed. It's hard to feel blessed in those moments. But it's to keeping our perspective in those moments. So when this happens, Jesus is saying in his kingdom, people who follow him are going to do it a different way. And when you demonstrate that kind of mercy, you're going to be just like those worshipers in South Carolina, demonstrated in the entire world that no matter what's going on, love always conquers hate. Those who are new to Christianity, you might be here today and you're new to Christianity, I want you to know, get used to this one thing about Jesus. He never asked us to do something he didn't do himself. He put up with insults. Jesus put up with crucifixion, and he did it all sacrificially for us. And Jesus is now, prior to that happening, he's calling the disciples to take it to another level and to receive it. In fact, prophetically, Isaiah speaks of Jesus this way and says, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. In other words, Jesus did what he's asking us to do. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German theologian and pastor, stood up to the Nazis in World War II, and he was in prison and sentenced to death at 39, the age of 39. His writing about discipleship has been sold all around the world. It's very, very popular stuff. But one of the statements he makes is that he says, Jesus has called his disciples to demonstrate, listen to these words, a visible participation in the cross. Well, you and I aren't crawling back up on the cross. Jesus isn't calling us to die in the exact same manner, but he is calling us to die to ourselves. And when we die to ourselves, it makes it much easier to become salt and light to the world around us. It makes it easier for us to serve in such a way. In other words, if you're a follower of Christ, people will see this practical manifestation of the love of God in your life by you reaching out in love. One of my very close friends up in the Visalia area, they were in a wreck, and the father turned left, and a gentleman ran a red light and T-boned their car. And as the car was laying on top, I believe Tanner was 7, 8 years old, as the car was laying on top of 8-year-old Tanner, and Tanner's crying out for his father, as he was literally giving up his life in that moment, his oldest sister, can't think of her name right now, Katie went over to the gentleman who was sitting on the curb crying as the doctors were doing everything they could to try and rescue Tanner. And Katie went over and said, this is not your fault. This was an accident. We forgive you. While she's listening to her brother crying out for his very life, Dad, help me. That's what I'm talking about, love. That's not hate, obviously. It was an accident. But love always trumps. Yeah. Love is the greater way. It's a more excellent way, the scripture says. That's what we're talking about. That's a visible participation. Who could do that? Peter says this, To those of you who were called because Jesus Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. There have been a few individuals not necessarily our lifetime, but there have been a few individuals in history that have taken these words of Jesus and received them and absolutely impacted the world. History tells us that Gandhi led a nationwide resistance to British imperialism, and he won independence for India because he took these exact words from Jesus and he put them to practice. Martin Luther King, a Baptist minister, obviously one of the most responsible for advancing civil rights in our country, while he was wrestling with how Christians ought to love, based upon this passage, this very same passage, he wrote these words from a Georgia jail cell. Hate multiplies hate in a descending spiral of violence and is just as injurious to the person who hates as to the victim. But above all, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Church, I'm here to tell you that what Jesus was saying is love is the more excellent way. Choosing forgiveness is the more excellent way. Choosing mercy is the more excellent way. Jesus is saying that we need to trust that God is God. And there are things that have happened to me in my life that I don't know that justice will ever happen in my lifetime. But I know that God is a God of justice. And I'm not praying that justice happens. I'm praying that mercy happens to those people. And I'm believing God for their salvation of their soul. But I know this, God is not going to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We have to just trust that God is God. And I don't need to exact retribution. I believe in it here as a church that we want to be salt and we want to be light. I want to be as a church the best representation that we can be to our community. But the best thing that we can represent to our community is love. A more excellent way. Service. A more excellent way. Well, how does that how does this whole service project thing fit in? I'm glad you asked. It's not about moving books. It's not about moving bookshelves. Any more than Jesus serving fish sandwiches on the side of a mountain was about feeding people. It's about being able to feed people and impact them for the cause of Christ and for the kingdom of God. It's about opening doors of receptivity in people's hearts. It's about being light. It's about being salt. It's about a more excellent way. And so it is about us going this next weekend, tying a towel around our waist and serving our community. And just let's see what God does with it. I don't have to have instantaneous results. Those of you that went out with us last time and heard, those of you that didn't, you heard about it and probably had a little bit of regret because you didn't get in on the blessings that we got in on. Because when that gentleman came in, sorry, I can't think of his name right now. Jim, when Jim walked into this room in tears, saying, thank you very much. We couldn't have done it without you. I didn't have to say a word. All I said was, well, that was worth it, wasn't it? And everybody was like, so anybody in the midst of working that would thought, oh, this is kind of hard. Why are we doing this? It's just pulling weeds. Nobody's even noticing. You know, where are the TV cameras when you need them? You know, what catch us doing something good, you know. All you had was Jimmy shows up and says, we couldn't do it without you. Jimmy brings his wife later to show what we did. What I'm asking us to do, church, what Jesus is asking us to do, is to treat the world around us with the love and the mercy of God that he's treated you with. Yeah. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, neither did you. Neither did I. Didn't deserve it either. And because I didn't deserve it, in spite of the fact that I didn't deserve it, Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And we're not asking anybody to lay down their lives this weekend. We're asking them to give up a couple hours and to demonstrate the love of God. And when we do that, it's going to be a powerful thing. I am believing God that we're going to do exactly this. So if they ask you to weed eat their school, then go clean their library. Come on. Am I taking this out of context? It's taking it to the next level. It's loving our community in a way that I've been believing God for this opportunity, and I'm so grateful for it. I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you stand with me this morning? Can we begin to pray and commit ourselves to prayer over what's going to happen this next weekend?